Good morning and welcome. It's another day in paradise. We're going to help you to keep that mindset. How awesome it is. Yep. A lot of good things going on. We don't talk about them, but you know, you just have to trust me.
Wow.
No, we will. 6:08 right now is your time check. Brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Yep, it's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. I'm going to dig right in. I think this is really interesting stuff. Now, you know the author, Peter Schweizer. He has made a name for himself, writes about, you know, presidents and things like that. And he's very connected. Well, he didn't write this book, but he's actually talking to the author. All right. And the author of this book, her name is Margaret Roberts. Now, why should you care about this book? Well, it's called Blowback, The Untold Story of the FBI and the Oklahoma City Bombing.
Oh, wow.
So I want to relook at this sort of, if you will, through the lens of what we know now about what a rogue FBI or FBI agents or portions of what is possible, what could they be capable of. We grew up in the age of the innocence. Mm-hmm. We, you know, some experienced and remember Watergate, some were kids, some weren't born yet, but you see how our blinders have come off, hopefully, and people in power can't be trusted. Now, people on the conservative side like us, we know that people in general can't be trusted, that we're all imperfect, and that's why we abide by what we believe the constitutional principles are and having multiple branches of government and checks and balances, because man, left unfettered to his own devices, can become evil, basically. Oh, yeah. Jefferson said it. Madison said it in one of the Federalist Papers. But here's my point. Margaret Roberts, author of this book, was previously news director for America's Most Wanted. Hmm. Now, does that qualify her as an investigative reporter? It sure does. And she worked closely with the FBI during that show, remember?
Right.
They were the ones that worked hand in glove to solve these crimes and mysteries. So she, you know, she had a pretty good perspective on how things operated. Now, just a couple things I want to bring up. Remember Terry Nichols? You never hear about him. You hear about Timothy McVeigh.
Oh, the other guy.
The other guy.
Yeah.
The other guy's still alive. He's doing a life sentence in a Colorado federal prison. So there is a live, you know, witness, if you will, somebody who allegedly participated in this crime. Now, Timothy McVeigh, they executed in 2001, and this was all due to that 1995 bombing of the Murrah Building in Oklahoma City.
I'll never forget that. I mean, the radio station that I worked at in St. Louis, we brought a television into the conference room and had it on all day long because that was so shocking of something like that happening.
And Oklahoma City, I mean, if you're in St. Louis, that's not that far away. That would be, you know, a weekend trip or whatever on a regular basis.
But, yeah.
All right. So this book comes out and, you know, Peter Schweizer, really, he's talking to her. He wants to know what's going on here. And remember, it's called Blowback, The Untold Story of the FBI and the Oklahoma City Bombing. And she claims it was manufactured terror, a sting operation that went sideways. Mm. Now, just real quick, fast forward. I'm sorry if I'm doing this ADD fashion. Fast forward to, remember there was a group of militia folks that were allegedly going to kidnap or kidnapping the governor of Michigan. And the same guy who was running the field office for the FBI in Detroit, who did that whole, it was kind of a sting. They infiltrated that militia group. So he gets promoted after that, and they finally did. A couple of these guys are doing prison time, but that was a difficult case, shall we say, for the government to prove. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
And it doesn't mean they weren't set up.
And here's where it gets technical. Okay, surveillance. You infiltrate a group. You're working. You're surveilling them. You're following what they're doing. You're documenting these things. You're building a case. Uh-huh. Okay, they're talking about maybe doing something bad, illegal, heinous, bombing, killing, kidnapping. Right? And but then you have to be careful because there's surveillance and then there's incitement. How many discussions did you, as the FBI agent, bring up you know what we should do?
Uh-huh.
Or point out, go, that's a good idea when somebody brings up something.
Because now it's the FBI's idea, not the
target. So you get into incitement and entrapment, which that destroys your case.
Right.
So surveillance, good. Entrapment, incitement, bad. Well, basically, she's saying, you know, that's what she believes happened. She learned of an FBI program known as Patriot Conspiracy, or PATCON. As part of that program, this guy who was supposed to be a witness and come forward decided not to at the last minute because there was a lot of internal pressure. But his name is Agent Matthews, and he infiltrated 22 extremist groups. And these weren't, you know, they weren't podunk. They were all considered to be capable of acts of domestic terrorism. Many intelligence and law enforcement people have long warned, though, that the problem with this law enforcement tactic is knowing where the surveillance ends and entrapment and incitement begin. Matthews left the FBI program because he became so disillusioned by what it was doing. And he said to me, meaning the author, Ms. Roberts, I was set up to incite violence, and I signed on to stop violence. So he wanted to be an FBI agent that would thwart, stop crime. He wanted to infiltrate these groups to stop them from doing bad things. And instead, he figured out and found out by being on the job that his job became inciting violence.
That had to be a shocking realization at that moment.
Well, if these allegations ring true in any way, just think about that falls perfectly in line with my theory about January 6th, that this was mostly insider incitement type work done by the FBI and or CIA. I still believe that to this day. Now, will we get to the bottom of it? That remains to be seen, and I'll have a related story to share with you after the break. But here's what I want to remind people of, because they forget this. She said, I'd been news director of America's Most Wanted, worked hand in glove with the FBI for 3 years on the highest profile manhunt stories. She said, and remember this story, meaning the Timothy McVeigh Murrah building and all that, remember this story, before it took a big U-turn, was a manhunt story, because 24 eyewitnesses on the ground in Oklahoma City on April 19th saw not just Timothy McVeigh in that Ryder truck, but a never identified accomplice who rode next to him and who was known only as John Doe number 2. He exited the truck with Timothy McVeigh and vanished into thin air.
Wow. Perspective, huh?
Yeah.
Wow, that'll give you something to think
and
about.
And insight, investigative reporting type mind, connections with the FBI.
Hmm.
I believe there's something there for sure. And let me tell you, coming up, Kash Patel, now the head of the FBI, finds burn bags with some interesting information contained in those. We'll talk about that coming up next on the Thursday edition of the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and we know you're busy. That's why we want to make it easy. So the Bob Rose Show podcast, have every minute, every issue on demand in one place, free on Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast, Apple, Spotify, or iHeart. Just hit subscribe. 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. It is 6:21, time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And listen to the Bob Rose Show on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps, or tell your smart speaker, play 97.3 The Sky. Just a few minutes ago, I was telling you about this new book that is coming out, and it's written by Margaret Roberts. And it's called Blowback, The Untold Story of the FBI and the Oklahoma City Bombing. This woman was previously the news director for America's Most Wanted. Remember, that was a huge TV show back in the day. And they worked closely with the FBI to solve these crimes, missing people and America's Most Wanted. All right, and she talks about the Oklahoma City bombing, and for those that don't remember it, I mean, this was a huge federal building that the explosive thing was fertilizer and stuff mixed together. Right. Mm-hmm. It took off the whole face of this multi-story building. I mean, pictures of it, and that's just pictures. You know how they don't do justice versus looking up at a huge building. But it was a frightening thing to have seen, even via the news.
I don't think the average American realized what one person, well, theoretically, one person could do with what you can put in the back of a moving truck, a box truck.
Yeah, that's why I say it was like a frightening thought to a lot of Americans. Like, somebody could get fertilizer and mix this up
and do that kind
of devastation. Mm-hmm. It was a frightening thought. All right, so anyway, she's digging in. Obviously, the idea of her story is, there's more to the story, did the FBI go a little too far in this? How much did they know? When did they know it? Et cetera, type thing. Now, one of the reasons why I brought this up, because it points to the possibility that, the FBI maybe took it a little too far. And part of the reason for that is whatever happened to the person who was seen with Timothy McVeigh in the Ryder truck. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't one witness. There wasn't two. There was 24 eyewitnesses who said, yeah, there was this guy with Timothy McVeigh, and they never identified him. And after he got out of the van, he vanished into thin air. Never to be talked about again, really, at least not investigatively. John Doe number two is what they referred to him as. So was he working with or for the FBI in some context? How do you just disappear when this was a huge, huge case and a manhunt ensued? And it was intense. And it wasn't too much longer that, when they caught up to Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols. So think back to that and remember that. And then now, FBI Director Kash Patel revealed that he found piles of sensitive documents on the Trump-Russian probe buried in what's referred to as burn bags in a secret room hidden in the Bureau's headquarters. How can there be a secret room in the FBI? Huh. Sounds crazy to begin with, doesn't it? Sources close to Patel said the FBI uses burn bag system to destroy sensitive documents designated, classified, or higher. Now, how do they have all these documents and all these cases that go back many years, but then some of it ends up in a burn bag?
Just sitting in a room somewhere?
Yes, and then eventually to be burned, theoretically?
Right.
Okay. Multiple bags with thousands of documents were reportedly found in the secret room used by former FBI Director James Comey.
Isn't it funny how some names just always seem to pop up?
And his agents for Crossfire Hurricane Probe. Patel also reportedly found the classified annex to former special counsel John Durham's final report, which includes the underlying intelligence he reviewed. Apparently, that document was never released to the public, but it's supposed to be now. This information is being given to Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley, who will, release these documents. And what's going on? Because we hear these, it's a bombshell. They dropped a bombshell. There's all this information. Tulsi Gabbard and all this. And look, I believe Tulsi Gabbard. And I believe, and I read some of it. Yeah, it's pretty damning. And Kash Patel might have found some documents could be pretty damning. So the next logical conclusion is, I wonder who they're going to arrest. Who are they going to name? Who are they going to arrest? Who are they going to indict? And that's where we, the American people, seems like we're always left hanging.
Well, Bob, let's just look at the pattern. Look at all the people and just think of all the names of all the people who've done the perp walks time after time after time. Oh, wait a minute. There hasn't been one, has there?
Well, what's interesting, and I was talking to Nick, our boss, yesterday, and he he brought up an interesting point that I hadn't looked at from that way, and that is, oh, somebody has done the perp walk, and they were found guilty. Donald J. Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Yeah.
Oh, I mean,
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, okay, guilty of, inflating, allegedly inflating the price and the value of you know, buildings he was taking loans out against. Yeah.
Right.
And we know New York court and, you know, the fix was in, but still, at the end of the day, the Democrats can't say, oh, look, you know, convicted felon, 34 counts, whatever. But yet, we don't see Democrats ever seeing the inside of a courtroom.
No.
It seems like, I mean, Hillary should have been cooked up after Benghazi. I mean, there's no doubt. That was very, very little ugly chapter there. And will we ever get, you know, 100% truth in that? Will we get? That's the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to be a truth seeker. There's no truth tellers, and nobody is held accountable. So as long as nobody is really held accountable, these heinous people doing these bad things, what makes you think that behavior will go away? It won't. 6:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Now, look, we've got some upbeat stuff as we get a little bit closer to the weekend. And then, of course, you've got that unbelievable 40 men arrested, pedophile sting, Marion County. Way to go, Marion County folks. Of course, our local news is all over that as well. And you're listening to 97.3 The Sky. We're almost there. The weekend, I can see it on the horizon. That and Alaska right from my porch. Good morning. Happy Thursday. It is 6:38 right now. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And, you know, it seems like just the other day we were talking to Congresswoman Kat Kamick. Remember, Greg?
Well, almost like it was, I don't know, the other day, nothing. It was almost like it was yesterday.
Oh, in fact, it was.
Oh, okay.
If you missed it, that's why we have the podcast for you. So you'll never miss a minute. You'll catch every issue on demand in one place. It's now free on Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast, Apple, Spotify, iHeart. Just hit subscribe. Never miss a minute of the show because it was another great interview and more insight. And one of the things that she spoke about is the COP Act, as it's known as. Mm-hmm. And this has been brought up before. And the basic premise of it is if you're going to hire somebody for a law enforcement gig and they don't have, they're not in this country legally, then they can't be a law enforcement officer. Now,
it's unfathomable that we have to have this conversation.
Yes. I wholeheartedly agree. Now, here's the problem. The federal government can't just wag their finger and say, you know, no, because these local jurisdictions, mostly blue state stuff, mostly sanctuary places.
Right.
So they hire these folks and there's nothing that at the federal level they can do about it. Well, if they pass this COP Act, they can, because they will say, as part of your check the box for federal funding, one of the boxes you got to check is do not plan on hiring anybody who is not of a proper legal status here in the United States.
Now, Bob, don't you think if anybody's listening right now, though, pick anybody in the country and they hear you having this conversation, they're going, nah, come on. You can't tell me that a city would actually hire an illegal to be on their police department. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, and we were talking about it when we were talking to Congresswoman Kamek and said along the lines, can you imagine? Cop pulls you over and says, you know, hey, pal, you're speeding. And I said, listen, pal, you're not even in the country legally.
Yes.
You picked and chose the laws you want to follow. I'm not following this stupid speed limit sign you posted out here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And see, and I will lose that battle. I realize that. And it's not right. But you're thinking to yourself, yeah, well, who would do that?
That's crazy.
Uh-oh. Just when we're asking that question, today a news story comes out. Oh, you're going to love this. It's like we planned it. An illegal alien employed as a reserve police officer in Old Orchard Beach, Maine, where even the Republicans are squishy, squishy, squishy. He's been arrested. Yes, by ICE after he overstayed a visa. You're overstaying a visa. I wonder what he put on the application. I'm here on a visa. Wouldn't they think like, well, you know, do we want to pay to train this person and get them going and all that, and have no idea whether the visa is going to be extended or what the deal is? John Luke Evans, an illegal alien from Jamaica. And it's spelled J-O-N, so I was going to say Jean.
Little French.
Jean-Luc. Anyway, he's from Jamaica. He was arrested by ICE agents July 25th in Maine after initially arriving on a visa in the United States on September 24th, 2023. Evans was supposed to depart on October 1st of 2023 under the terms of his visa. It was pretty clear. Your visa is good until October 1st, 2023. But he didn't. He didn't leave. And as a result of overstaying his visa, then ICE classifies him as an illegal alien, which he is. Evans was arrested by ICE agents after he attempted to purchase a firearm for his job as a police officer in Old Orchard Beach. Old Orchard Beach. I don't know why that's a tough one. The attempted purchase of the firearm triggered a BATFE alert, which then was sent to ICE. So, in this case, the system in place is working. Jean-Luc Evans not only broke U.S. immigration law, but he also illegally attempted to purchase a firearm. Shockingly, Evans was employed as a law enforcement officer.
How? Going through the process, I mean, any job, you know how it is. Okay, birth, you need your three forms of ID that they always used to go make a copy of.
Right.
Birth certificate, social security card, something else. The fact that you're on an expired visa, don't have all the other stuff that shows that you actually belong here, where is the thought process that says, oh, man, you're going to be the perfect cop in our community?
Well, actually, he would be perfect because they didn't do their due diligence when they hired him.
True.
So, you know, buffoonery leading buffoonery. And it is Maine.
Yeah.
So, I shouldn't say too many bad things about Maine. I am considering a visit there.
Really?
I got to check it off the bucket list. I wanted to ride through it.
Yeah.
But the idea was to eat lobster, breakfast, lunch, dinner, and on one day at least. Just to do it. I love lobster.
Well, obviously, yeah.
So, you know, it's one of those check. And I'm thinking about doing it fairly soon.
Well, then don't get pulled over. You'll find some dude from Jamaica, man.
What you doing here, man? What you doing here, man? No, what you doing?
I see where this could go.
It's a crazy story, but
it is. It shouldn't be true.
6:45 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Plenty more to talk about, including Trump winning again. Oh, my God. Are you tired of it?
Oh, no.
Neither am I. 97.3 The Sky. Trump winning, yes.
I'm seeing a pattern.
Yeah, it is. And it is funny. I like to see all the naysayers eat just a little bit of crow when Trump continues to succeed. Jerome Powell, how can he look at himself in the mirror? They didn't lower the rate again. Apparently, two board members voted against him. And it's kind of interesting at the Fed. I think in any other situation, if it wasn't Trump, they definitely would have dropped the rates. They might have done it twice by now. But he's got a thing. Jerome Powell has a thing for him. And he brought up tariffs again. But, I mean, the news just came out. We've had a second quarter with a growth rate over 3%. That's huge. And it was Jerome Powell that said, yeah, we don't see growth beyond like 1.2% this year and maybe 1.7 next year. That's what he said in a previous statement. But that's not what is happening. That's not what's going on. Will they adjust for the next time that they meet, the next session? They should, but don't count on it. He talks about the tariffs again. He's definitely a tariff hater, and it's like kind of an unknown variable. Guess what is an unknown variable, Jerome? I'm going to explain something to you simply. You ready? You know what an unknown variable is? The future, you bozo. The future's always an unknown. You have no blithering idea what could occur in the next 24 hours, let alone the next quarter. Right?
Amazing.
Rome wasn't built in a day, but it was destroyed in one. Here's another good one. New York Times columnist, longtime critic of President Trump. His name is Brett Stevens. Well, guess what? At least he has the gumption, the gall, the guts, or whatever, to admit that the Trump administration is having far more success than he expected. Yep, wow. And he put it out there.
Impressive.
In a column published Tuesday, Stevens marveled at Trump's recent slew of successes, saying that the president's term has had a better turn since his first 100 days in office, which I thought his first 100 days were pretty good, but according to him, he said, egads. After a disastrous first 100 days, Donald Trump is starting to have a much more successful presidency. This is not what we... his foam-at-the-mouth critics had planned or perhaps secretly hoped for. He wrote that.
Wow. Like, really wrote those words?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Stevens, who described himself as a never-Trump conservative. Now, he writes for the New York Times. Conservative,
all right.
But must be old-school establishment,
yeah.
Never-Trump conservative. He actually listed Trump's accomplishments. And he pointed out whether he's achieved them, in his mind, through good policy or sheer luck. Among the positive policies that he pointed out, getting NATO countries on board with increased defense spending. He said, far from destroying the Atlantic Alliance, as critics feared, of course, without they feared these things without any justification in their fear. None. But at least he's honest and admits it. They all feared, oh, he's going to screw that up. Trump may wind up being remembered for reviving and rebalancing NATO to the advantage of both sides. He even praised Trump for courageous policy, namely the bombing of Iran's nuclear facilities last month. He said joining Israel in its strike on Iran, which Trump carried out in the teeth of in political resistance from parts of his own base, did not lead to a calamitous Middle East war, though Tehran may still seek retaliation. We get that.
Right.
But instead, he helped to bring the war between Israel and Iran to a swift end. And the columnist even went on to encourage Trump's adapted policy on the Russian-Ukraine war, stating that speeding the delivery of arms to Ukraine after Trump's disastrous initial pressure campaign on Ukraine backfired by emboldening Putin is the only way to end the war. He also praised Trump's immigration policy, though he noted it is good policy that's gone too far in terms of enforcement. But this is a guy, remember, he works at the New York Times, so there's a filter there. Whether he considers himself... liberal, moderate, or conservative, and he calls himself a conservative, but everything that he hears and runs, it's all going to be run through a much more left-of-center filter just by his proximity to such things.
Yeah.
Additionally, Stevens expressed some relief that trade deals Trump recently secured with the European Union and Japan did not lead to worse outcomes than they did, despite noting that there's many unbeautiful parts to the big, beautiful bill that was passed in early July. The columnist admitted that it was a needed political victory for the president. I mean, this guy, I think he may have turned the corner. But remember, he's conservative somewhat to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But will this start to trickle on down? Will moderates and maybe even some that are You know, if they're too far left of center, forget about it.
Right.
Their brains
right.
are cooked, you know? But will
it,
this...
Is it a sign?
Yeah. And listen, and he wrote this before the latest thing, which is a trade deal with South Korea, one of our huge mm-hmm. trading partners. And he's about to chalk up another victory in a trade deal with India.
Mm-hmm.
And India apparently has a reputation for, you know, maybe not following through on, you know, all the things, you know, financially
right.
and otherwise.
Right. And you got their connections to Russia. They're still
buying their oil.
Yep, yeah, that's a problem. So
well, Trump is going to address that, and he is.
Yeah.
And if they keep buying Russian oil, they're going to get like a 40% tariff. And that would hurt India
mm-hmm.
a lot. So he doesn't want to hurt them. He wants them to quit buying Russian oil, and that will put the squeeze on Putin. It's 3D chess. Try to keep up, my friends. Clearly the left is having difficulty, and I'm here to help. 6:56 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and never miss a minute of the show. Just search the Bob Rose Show on your favorite app and hit the follow button. Spotify, iHeart, Apple, it's all there for you.